The words come back with great force. I have never left you. I can never leave you. I am with you. Always. They were uttered to mankind through the disciples, recorded and transmitted long before you and I appeared on this earth. In this form. And these beautiful words have been on earth now for some 2,000 years. And we have not respected their truth. I can never leave you, not for a single instant. Nothing can ever separate us because I am with you always. When the Master appears now, in visible form to Mary, the living embodiment of those very words that I can never leave you, it is a sign not that he has reappeared or been resurrected, but rather that he has been there always, for I can never leave you. And that one individual now is able to perceive that which to that individual had been imperceptible. I want you to know that it's possible for you to see the Christ right here, right now. Not entombed, never was, always present, always actually drawing you to the Christ. And we want to learn now that for 3 years, Mary Magdalene and the other disciples were seeing their mind concept of infinity. There was no Jesus with them. They were seeing the Spirit of God through their mind as a form called Jesus, just as we see each other. We're all looking at the Spirit of God and seeing a form that we name. They call that form Jesus. And after 3 years of walking with that mind image, which was within her and not never outside of her, she was now lifted to a place where she could see with her soul. And instead of seeing a mind image, she now saw a soul image. She saw the same infinite spirit now with her soul instead of her mind, and that we call the resurrection of Jesus Christ erroneously. You are going to do it. And when you do it, you will be in the fulfillment of the Easter promise, which was a preview of your own inner experience. When you see me through your soul, I'm not going to look this way. And when I see you through my soul, you're not going to look that way. And this was necessary because there is an experience awaiting each of us which is identical to the experience that morning by Mary Magdalene. Suddenly, her soul was perceiving instead of her mind. And then the chain reaction began. Before you know it, the disciples were perceiving with their souls instead of their mind. And finally, even Mr. Data, the Thomas man, who looked with his soul and saw that which was always present, had never departed, but was now was previously imperceivable to the human mind, and suddenly lifted into the upper chamber of soul consciousness, they could perceive that which had never left, because I can never leave. I am with thee always. Right here, right now, is that identical infinite spirit which Mary perceived in the tomb, allegedly 2,000 years ago. Fortunately, you see, there was no body ever there. And what we have been unwilling to know about the Easter pageant has always been veiled from the human mind, but never veiled from your soul. We were looking clearly at a demonstration that there is no body, but it was too inconceivable to the human mind to accept. Where people saw a body, one wasn't. And when this becomes known to you, that the body of Jesus was not there on that cross, when you are convinced, when the Thomas in you says, I believe because I saw, or even better, I don't have to see, I believe. When that happens, and you understand that Easter meant there is no human body, then you can say and open your Bible with a completely new outlook. The Jesus who walked the earth in a human body for 3 years with the disciples wasn't there either. He didn't just disappear from a cross. He never was in human form. There never was an external Jesus on this earth. There was a mental form in the mind of everyone who perceived the Spirit. And that mental form appeared as Jesus. If they had soul perception at that time, it would not have appeared as Jesus, but as something else. And when you read your Bible with the knowledge that the great mystery is that Christ walked on earth, not in a physical body, but in the minds of men, making visible to us that which goes on in the world mind. If you could take an X-ray of the human mind today, you would see Christ being crucified all over again. Every day, in practically every village of the world, Christ is being crucified by the human mind. It's a daily occurrence. It's the way the human mind is set up. It crucifies Christ by the simple method of ignoring Christ. As far as the human mind is concerned, Christ is dead. It has nothing to do with Christ. Maybe a few words, a few statements. But the human mind goes right about its own business. Meanwhile, Christ, who can never leave you, is ever present, lifting you in consciousness to the moment when you will come above the human mind. That experience occurred to Mary. It had previously occurred to John, even while Jesus appeared visibly as a teacher on the earth in form. John had seen the true Christ within himself. You'll notice that when he stooped and looked into that tomb, he didn't run in like Peter. He was trying to tell us that right there. Now, there's something that you may not have known up to now, what all this is leading to. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. And you've been looking for a human teacher. Many times we have said, if I could just go to India and get away from it all. Or if I could study with this one or that one. I've always fought that impulse for one reason. I felt the necessity to prove that the master within is alive, right where you are. You have a hidden master within you. And as you prepare to receive your hidden master, when you are really ready, not when you think you're ready, I tell you that your master will appear within you. And it will be the Christ. And it will be the identical experience that Mary had in the garden. In the garden. The garden of your consciousness. In the true heaven, in paradise, in your pure consciousness, the Christ does appear. Because you are ready. Because you are prepared. Because you have followed the commandments of the Father. What had Mary Magdalene done to deserve this inner soul vision? She had laid down her life. In a few short years, she had moved from one state of consciousness to another. She is a symbol of the capacity in an individual to rise above the mortal concept of life, to accept immortality now. To realize that because the Spirit of God is all and is infinite, I, living in that consciousness, reject all that tries to tempt me into the material sense of life. And as you dwell with that consciousness through the day, through the month, through the year, meeting your challenges, you are learning the true initiation of being on the cross. That's your cross. You're on the cross of matter right now, but you weren't aware of it. And you're in the tomb of flesh, but you weren't aware of it. And Christ stepping out, saying, Mary, and stepping into the upper chamber to talk to the disciples, this is a symbol of a great teaching to all of us, saying, just as I did, step out of your tomb. We haven't thought he was saying that to us. Step out of your tomb the way I did, the way Lazarus did, the way even the little boy at the village of Nain did, and others. Step out of your mortal tomb. That's all this Bible is about. Step out of the mortal tomb of a mortal life, a life that you know is temporary. And I, the infinite Christ, ever dwelling in the midst of you, am drawing you unto me now, as I have all these so-called thousands of years, ever drawing you up, up, up into your own spiritual evolution, where one day, in a glorious moment, as you envision the inner Christ, you will know you have found your master. And your master will then show you why he said, I am the true shepherd. And my sheep hear my voice. And when you have found your inner master, it is really because your inner master knows that you are totally dedicated to the truth that spirit is all. It won't happen till then. And to those of you who have rested in this assurance and have dedicated your heartfelt being to that truth, it probably has happened already. Sometimes it'll happen once and then not for 10 years again. In others, it'll only happen once in a lifetime. In some, it may not even happen. But the Master is not only visible. You can hear the Master's voice. And you can feel the Master's presence, and you can see the Master. All three. And you can see the effects of the presence of the Master without seeing the Master at all. But I tell you, the Master is there. And that Master is the Christ that was not crucified on Golgotha. And that Master is now and has ever been with you. And as this becomes your reality, understood, you will be more willing to be meek unto the inner Master. Blessed are the meek unto the inner Master. You can accept that inner Master without seeing the Christ. That's the greatest secret of the crucifixion, that what Mary now sees within herself is the revelation of what each of us on this earth is destined to experience within ourselves. The actual presence of the infinite Christ as a living force. And because the word Christ usually connotes to most people a form, a person, it probably makes you unable to get the purity of the truth that this which you call the Christ is infinity. It is the infinite eternal substance of God. And it takes the form in your consciousness of that which we call the Christ. It actually looks exactly as you would expect it to look, or better. Now this inner Christ, announcing itself to the world by the appearance called resurrection, proves that every word spoken by the Christ is a now reality. So that I can never leave you becomes the song of your heart. Christ is with me. Christ is within me. And as you follow this inner Christ, receiving guidance, inner instruction, communication that cannot be put into a simple form of word symbols, but rather some form of higher intuition. As the Christ leads you through this higher intuition, you are actually in the presence of God, ordained, being lifted to a higher state of evolution in the spirit. Everything is turning in a different direction. The whole world that we know becomes quite different. It's so dramatic that possibly words are inadequate, but we must try. We have a little world out here, and we have these atoms, and they're fissionized. It all turns the other way. And you'll find that in your lifetime on this earth, you're going to see a good deal more about the opposite process of atomic fission. It has to be, because as you lift up higher in consciousness, fission changes to fusion. Everything that is separated and gone out apart now must come together and return to the Father's house. You'll hear more about fusion in the magazines later. You will see that as your consciousness is lifted by the inner Christ into a state of higher awareness, there will be a fusion taking place within you of your soul and your spirit. Time and space will fuse itself out into something else. There will be a great homogeny in which all of the higher truths become visible at a different level, and you will see them in everything. all that was once separated will now begin to converge and to homogenize, and you will see the fullness of the Father at work because of the inner Christ. The inner Christ connects you to infinity. That is why it was so important all the way to learn that Christ goes to the Father, Christ is sent from the Father. It was a statement that in order to be one with infinite source, you must find the inner master called Christ. You will probably want to say, well, how will I know when it's happened? And I want to say to you, more important than that is how are you going to prepare to make sure that it does happen? Because you can't imagine it. You can't sit there and say, Christ, come to me now. You can't fool the inner computer. The Father knows. When you have complied, and that is why we have so strongly emphasized things that are difficult to do but necessary, such as there are no externals. As you are lifted into the awareness that there is a living Christ within you, and you are lifted still higher, you will be fused into that living Christ, and you will discover that the inner master, who seems to have discovered you, is now yourself. And that is how you move into the next experience. We are being prepared just that way, and the chain of command is very direct. There's no way to walk around it. There were two trees. And the one tree was the tree of life, and the other was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And now you can see clearly that the tree of life is your soul. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil is your mind. And as you're lifted above the level of mind by this inner master, into soul, you're out of the false tree where death is. And in your new experience, you can see death as the illusion that it is. I, the Christ, teach you the Word of God. I teach you direct from the Father, for the Son doeth nothing except the Father tells him what to do. And as you walk consciously, willing to discipline yourself out of the illusions of material sense, by faith, by trust, by some degree of truth, you will find these experiences, these capacities that you develop to deepen your faith, actually do externalize as visible experience. And the experiences confirm the faith. And you find that you will be looking at another world. Right here. Right here. I don't mean after transition. Before transition, you will see another world. You might first see segments. You might first see another person, another way. You might look at things that you looked at every day as ordinary and humdrum, and suddenly through fusion instead of fission, through the inner master, through the eye of the soul, you will perceive a new universe around you. Do you recall in your past experience anything of that nature? I can think of quite a number of things. which at the time they happen are rather startling and unexplainable perhaps, but all signposts along the road that something else is here. For just as Christ invisible is present where the world saw a Jesus, and no Jesus was present where the world saw Jesus because only Christ was there, so here is another universe in the very same way. Another universe imperceptible to the mind but not to the soul. When we are taught that this is a spiritual universe, we are being told that we're looking through the mind, the tree of knowledge of good and evil matter, at that which is actually the tree of life, the pure spirit, and we are veiling it through our sense perception. But when we are lifted above the sense perception by the inner master, we perceive it more like it is. At least we see the fifth world. And so you're being lifted now. This is the point in the fourth day of creation when we are moving toward the fifth quite rapidly. John said it this way. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This was not a man who had made his transition. That's important. But this was a man who had found his inner master. And the inner master had linked him with infinity. And now he could perceive through his inner vision that which you will perceive through your inner vision, a new heaven and a new earth. For the old had passed away. But what is this new heaven and this new earth? Reality doesn't change. As you mount the ladder of consciousness, you look always at the identical reality and see it with new perception. He was seeing what could have been seen before. Christ had seen this before. I'm sure Elijah had, and Enoch, and probably Abraham and Moses. But now he was seeing it. I'm sure when he wrote this isn't the moment he saw it. Maybe he saw it 50 years before and lived with it and knew it and dwelt with it until he felt he could finally put it into some kind of word symbology that would convey even a fraction of the glory he had perceived. But right now, in soul vision, waiting for you to perceive it is a new heaven and a new earth, and a new self. Because just as Jesus did not walk this earth, but Christ was there, you are not here as you appear, but Christ is where you are. And this Christ who becomes your inner master will then throw off the garment of flesh for your transition. And you will always be this same Christ, for I will never leave you. I am your being. And I am leading you upward through the world of the senses, now into the world of the soul. It is a now experience, and it has been happening, and it is happening now. The most important and most dramatic event that is going to happen is the sudden appearance of the inner Christ. For I come quickly. Keep your candles lit. Keep your consciousness where it belongs, in truth. And I come through your truth center. And I link you with my infinite Father, and you are then the full tree of life eternal. This is the inner path, and that is why Christ is the way. First, on the outer, appearing in a form that men can recognize, and then on the inner, and then no Christ, just you. And behold, I am He. This is the narrow way. It's the way that must be walked in order to walk into paradise. It's the Easter resurrection of consciousness, to return to your home in consciousness, to be one with the divine self as the divine self, functioning on an infinite level through your soul. And then you'll be in a new training discipline. The soul world is a complete training discipline. And its purpose is to find your spirit, to move through your spirit, to finally fuse with your spirit, and to give birth to you as the self that you have always been. Behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Haven't we heard that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? And we looked at a physical earth, not realizing it meant that there is a spiritual earth here, which is the earth is the spirit of the Lord. But we, in our material mind, convert that into another image called the physical earth. Normally, we go through this experience through many reincarnations, not hearing about another earth. But when we come through the Christ experience, the other earth, which is the only earth, which is not atomic at all, but which is spirit, then we discover that the atom is the imitation of the spirit. It's our world mind imitation of the spirit. And we find the spiritual universe behind the atomic universe, but it is that which is called the temple not made with hands. And we find the spiritual body behind the physical atomic body, and it is the temple not made with hands. And we find why we are the child of the infinite Father and not of a human father. We find that our human father is the same Christ that we are. Even holding a father and a mother into humanhood is denying them the truth of their own being. We look at everyone and we realize that the earth is the Lord's. There is a spiritual universe here peopled by spiritual beings who are all one in Christ. And somehow, the preview of that does come to the point where intuitively, perhaps, or through direct experience, you are prepared to walk in that direction. The earth that we call this earth is spirit and the fullness thereof. And this cannot be taught by a human mind to a human mind. Everything we know about a material universe has been taught to us by material methods. And using matter to understand a material universe there's no way to go beyond, because the very apparatus you use is material. It can only know matter. The Christ knows the Spirit. And therefore we cannot rely on our human minds or any human authorities to teach us about the Spirit. We can't even let our own selves be authorities about the world of the Spirit, because we must first develop the faculty, that Christ mind. Until we can look at a world which seems to be what it is, and see instead, and feel instead, and live instead in that earth which is the Spirit of the Father and the fullness thereof, then we will say, I behold a new heaven. Because the heaven that man has conceived for this earth is sort of an obsolete heaven right now for those in the Spirit. And the earth is slowly becoming just that. We no longer have a division between earth here and heaven there. And the new heaven, of course, means that instead of heaven being at a level above us, which we might say at this moment would be the fifth world, the first heaven, when we perceive the true earth of spirit, then our new heaven is just a level above that. Finally, our heaven and our earth are one and the same. Because heaven is just another word for spiritual consciousness, the kingdom of God, the infinite divine consciousness. If we have not accepted identity, then we still are in the old obsolete earth that man calls this world. But if we have accepted identity, even on faith, we make the effort to walk consciously in heaven now. For truly, if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, then the old earth has passed away out of our consciousness. And heaven is our home now. The kingdom of God is our home now. As spirit, we live in a spiritual universe now. And I make this point because unless you do, you're telling your teacher, stay away. When the student is ready, and that word ready means when the student is living in heaven now, in the kingdom of God now, in the real earth now, the earth that you see is no different than the Jesus that men saw on a cross. He wasn't there. That's why he reappeared as the living Christ. The earth that you see is no different. It isn't here. And you will find that as you move consciously in the knowledge that the mystical tree of life is actually heaven itself, the reality that is present where through the mind of knowledge we see good and evil matter, you are preparing for the great entry of the Master into your consciousness. That is your curriculum. That's a prerequisite before the Master will say, behold, I make all things new. But if you have walked the path sufficiently to have had your inner guidance, your inner confirmations, and have reached the conviction that the Master does appear to the true at heart, the pure at heart, the dedicated, no matter how difficult the course, then start living consciously, not on this earth, because you're not living in that which is the creation of God. This mental earth that we call earth buries the dead. This mental earth is stained with the blood from many battlefields. This mental earth is not the creation of God. It is our mental recreation. And that's the only place it exists. And you cannot live in it and expect the Master to enter your consciousness. And as the Master does enter your consciousness, your new body will be built. And you need that body. It will really be your realization of a body you already have. It will seem like it's being built. But with that body, you will walk out of this world. There are other experiences in the Bible which have been misinterpreted, misunderstood. And from your own personal experience, you can probably see them more clearly now. In the garden, a woman sees in her soul the appearance of a man called Jesus. The world thinks she saw him outside in a garden. She saw him in the garden of her consciousness. But before he had been crucified, others had seen him the same way and didn't realize it. John realized it, but when the fishermen at sea thought they would drown and fear benumbed their minds, they were without thought, and they saw Jesus walking on water, they thought. They didn't see him walking on water at all. They saw Christ in their consciousness, in their soul. There was no external Jesus to walk on water. And there was no water. They were seeing in their consciousness, through soul perception, the ever-present Christ who appeared as the need fulfilled. That's very important to all of us. The fulfillment of the need is ever taking place within you, even though you don't experience it outside. That was to show that every need is automatically fulfilled invisibly. They were seeing the invisible, and they weren't seeing it through their mind. And someday, if you're ever shocked enough, and have been, perhaps you know, when that mind is shocked, you can't think with it. Something lifts you sometimes into soul perception. That's precisely what happened to them. In soul perception, they saw the inner Christ who always was there, and because of the need, it appeared to them that the Christ was walking on water. If they had been falling off a cliff, it would have appeared to them that the Christ was holding them up or sending up some kind of support or waiting with one of those things firemen use when you jump off a roof. They would have seen him that way. Whatever the need was, that's what they would have seen, because Christ is always present and always the answer to the need, and we, through consciousness, interpret it into that form which our mind automatically converts from the invisible presence of Christ. Now, if you then were in a dire circumstance, or just in a normal way of life, aware that the inner Christ is there with the infinite mind, the infinite power, the infinite substance, all it would take was your awareness in faith. And you would find that Christ wouldn't necessarily have to walk on water, but Christ would be doing all those things that are necessary for the fulfillment or the expression of Christ through you. And this would be your experience of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost doing that which is the perfection of God on earth as in heaven. It's happening all around us. We simply do not have the perception to be aware of it, because we have not prepared. We're still living in the material sense of earth, in the material sense of body. And interestingly enough, this statement doesn't come from the Christ Jesus, it comes from the Christ of John. Behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And now you must accept the new earth on faith. Because when you learn about the Christ who was not crucified, where men saw a Jesus, you are learning about the Christ who is within you always, who can never leave you, who lives in that new heaven, that new earth. That's where Christ lives. That's where you must live, because Christ is you. If you do not consciously accept your presence now in the kingdom of God, where are you? If you're not in the kingdom of God, what else is there? There's no second. So we have to get rid of the mind or the tree of knowledge of good and evil matter, because God didn't create any good matter or evil matter. We have to get rid of all the blood-stained battlefields in our consciousness. We have to get rid of all the criminals, all of the arsonists and rapists, all of the thieves. We have to get rid of all the bad people and all of the good people. We have to walk with angels. Not unawares, but aware. We have to do that. We have to live in the kingdom of God consciously. And if we don't, then the mystical tree of life for us is just a figment of the imagination. And the fruits of it are not going to fall into our experience. The force of spirit in its infinite expression is moving you up into the awareness that you are now in the kingdom of God. This is it. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof is the Lord's, and it is the living spirit of God all around you now, misperceived by the human mind. We're moving out of the false tree of the mind into the true tree of the soul, which can know the Father aright. When you are in a state of meditation, that's part of it, and it helps. Without it, in fact, you cannot walk in the kingdom of God. These great mind people cannot walk in the kingdom of God because the mind is the tree of good and evil. It's the Tower of Babel all over again. It tries to reach heaven but cannot. There's no way for material sense to walk in the kingdom. And so you've got to meditate, because meditation is really taking you out of mind control. But you've also got to know truth. You can meditate all day long if you don't know truth, and you find it's only half the battle. You've got to know truth, and you've got to be faithful to truth. You've got to live the truth. You've got to commit yourself to truth. And the truth is that this is the kingdom of God. Now, if you start finding things in the kingdom of God that can't exist there, you're not living in truth. There are no mortuaries in the kingdom of God. There are no cemeteries. There are no battlefields. There are no evils. There are no pains. There are no afflictions. All of the things which your mind sense tells you are here are not in that earth, which is the earth of the Lord's. You must cleanse your temple vigorously. Do you see the job ahead of us? You see that these things which are external to you seemingly are not there at all? They're in our world concept of an earth that is not the creation, And that is why the Christ must appear in our midst and say, my kingdom is not of this world, but my kingdom is at hand, because the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness of the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness of your being is the Lord's. And we need a Paul to tell us, little children, know ye not that ye are of Christ, and that we are all the one body of Christ? Well, that means now. And if you want the inner master to appear, to guide, to lead, to show, to direct, to perfect and perform, who else is going to lead you through this kingdom of God? No one. There's no human being can lead you through the kingdom of God. Only the inner master. We can't put the cart before the horse. You must be in the kingdom first. In your consciousness, you must accept this is it. Heaven now. There's no other way. We've been in the Garden of Eden, and the eviction was only through the mental sense of life. The thinking that we were in a physical world is our own self-eviction. Let's get back where we belong. Now, we're not asking everybody in the world to do this. Just these few who are advanced enough, willing enough, dedicated enough, determined enough, courageous enough, and maybe spiritually illumined enough to make the effort to consciously walk in the kingdom of God, not in the material earth known to man. We haven't been witnessing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have been witnessing our own resurrection in consciousness to the place where we can come to understand where we are. We are in the kingdom of God, and Christ is ourself, and we don't fully know this yet, but we're moving through it on faith. Who can say for certain that there is an inner master? Whoever voices that should have had the experience. And I know some of you have. I know the experiences I've had. And I know this, that without an inner master, I am as dead as any man lying under a tombstone. But with an inner master, I am eternal. I can see where there is no death in the face of an individual by the look in their eyes. For they have found something else. Something which no words can say. Which no one can say to them. But they have found it within themselves. They have had an awareness of another life. Another presence. Another reality. There's nothing can stop them, because those are all the signs of the inner master at work, coming into their consciousness to the level of their capacity to receive. But the flow has started. The inner master is a strange appearance. There's no way to prejudge it. It'll fool you every time. You'll expect it to come this way and it'll come another way. Or you won't expect it and there it is. Or you look for it in one form and it doesn't assume a form. It assumes an activity. But after a while, you become very certain that your inner master and you are moving in complete harmony, complete communication. Something from a higher world is drawing you from this world into itself. The signs are unmistakable. The joy is deep and almost speechless in the effect it produces on you, and you develop the capacity to trust and say, lead on, wherever you go, I go. Wherever you go, I go. Because when the inner master moves you in a certain direction, and you find that in spite of your limited human capacity, that would not have been your direction, but it turns out to be the right direction. And again the same, all you can do is say, lead on. Someone, some intelligence is leading you through the illusions of a world that is not created by God into the present reality of the kingdom of God, which is right where the world, misperceiving, sees the earth, the material earth, the earth in which dolphins can be slaughtered and men can be robbed and women can be mugged and all kinds of pollutions can take place. Let's not saddle God with such an earth. Let's realize this is a world misperception. The pure at heart then are meek, ready, dedicated, willing to move into the invisible without eyes. Perfectly happy, knowing that the Spirit of the Lord is there, holding them in the right path. The shepherd is present, and if you move out of line, something is going to nip at your ankles and get you back in. That shepherd is there, present, always within you. And then we are walking blindfold in the kingdom of God. The blinds will be lifted off, just as they were lifted off Lazarus. This is our resurrection. That's what Easter Day is. Easter Day is simply another reminder that we are living the resurrection. We are the resurrection. Christ appearing says, I am the resurrection, because only through the inner master Christ can you be resurrected to the next level of your own being.